So today, as you know, is the auspicious appearance day of. So the two speakers, the darshan, I believe, is at 8:30. So I'm supposed to speak till 7:45, and then Bhakti with the Purit Maharaj is going to speak from 7:45 to 8:30. So we have very limited time, okay, because there's a lot to speak about Nrisimhadeva and Prahlad Maharaj. So I think what we'll do, the verse we have selected for discussion is a verse that describes the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva. We'll just do the word meaning and proceed. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Text 17. Satyam Vidatam Nija Vritya Bhashitam Vyaptim Cha Bhute Vakileshu Chatmanaha Adarshyatat Yad Bhuta Rupam Udvahan Stame Sabhyam Na Mregam Na Manushim Satyam Vidatam Nijabritya Bhashitam Vyaptam Jabhutesh Vakilesh Chatmanaha Adarashyatadhyad Bhuta Rupam Udvahan Stambe Sabhayam Na Mrigam Na Manusham Satyam True Vidatam To prove Nija Britya Bhashitam The words of his servant Prahlad Maharaj. Vyaptin deprivation. Cha and Bhuteshu among the living entities and elements. Akileshu all. Cha also. Atmanaha of himself. Adarshyata was seen. Ati very. Adbhuta wonderful. Rupam form. Udvahan taking. Stambe in the pillar. Sabayam within the assembly. Na not. Mrigam an animal. Na not. Manusham a human being. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. The Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall, purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. When Hiranya Kashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, yes, my Lord is present everywhere. Therefore, to convince Hiranya Kashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlada's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Prahlad Maharaj's demonic father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotee, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here." By manifesting his form as the Singhadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a... Can you all hear me clearly? Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanta Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshura Militani Na Tasma. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So today is your special appearance day, O Lord Narasimhadev, and this verse from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam describes the appearance of the Lord as Narasimhadev. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we get information over the Lord and his devotee and Hiranyakashipu's pastimes, beginning in the third canto and detailed in the seventh canto. Nothing is inconceivable for the Lord. And as Prabhupada pointed out in the purport, the Lord protected his devotee, honored his word, and kept all of Brahma's promises intact and appeared in an inconceivable form. I was told that many years ago, in the early days of our movement, there was a court case in America, and the prosecution was trying to establish that ours is a concocted religion. So they brought a picture of Narasimhadev in the courtroom and said, "My Lord, this is our God. Half man, half lion." And naturally, the crazy jury said, this is concoction. So nothing is inconceivable for the Lord. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. And in the seventh canto, it is described that anyone who hears this transcendental pastime of the Lord and his devotee will make spiritual advancement. So in material life, we have heroes, isn't it? If you're trying to be a sports star, you have a famous sports star as your hero. If you're trying to be a businessman, you take on a successful businessman as your hero. So in spiritual life also, we have heroes. And one of our heroes is Prahlad Maharaj. Lord Chaitanya personally and his associates would often discuss the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj, not Rasa Leela. So, Hiranyakashipu, was he a demon or a devotee? How many of you think he was a demon? No one? Okay. So at heart, he was a devotee. As you read in the third canto, the Kumaras, by their mystic power, and managed to enter the Vaikuntha planets. And they went through the first six gates without any interruption. And the Kumaras, as we know, always were naked, because they were young children. They had the ability to prevent the growth of their body, as they did, and they did not want to honor their father's request that they should enter the Grihastha ashram. So by their mystic powers, they kept themselves as young children. But on the seventh gate, they were stopped. And the doorkeeper said, "Hey, you naked kids, you can't go in like this. You're going to go to see the Lord." And the Kumaras were feeling such intense pleasure once they entered the Vaikuntha planets that when they were interrupted and stopped, their eyes became red like hot iron. And they said, "You doorkeepers are not capable of staying here. You may have seen in most temples in India, we have Jai Vijay at the entrance. In some temples like Delhi, we have at the entrance of the temple, at the entrance of the property. And Jai Vijay are the two doorkeepers of the Lord." So the Kumaras declared that they were unfit to be there in that important position, and they were ready to curse them. The Jai Vijay were not worried about the curse. Just like in the Bhagavatam you see that Parikshit Maharaj was being cursed by the Brahmin boy Sringi, and he was cursed to death, but he didn't fear or panic. Rather, he prepared in a very exemplary manner how one should prepare for death. So Jai Vijay said, "If you want to curse us, punish us, no problem. But give us one benediction." What's that? "That we may never forget the Lord. We may be intensively connected to the Lord." And when the Kumaras were having this dialogue with the doorkeepers, the Lord overheard this. Just like we are meeting over here, but if suppose some people are talking loudly downstairs, then you naturally, out of curiosity, want to go and see what happened. So the Lord heard this dialogue that was going on between the doorkeepers and the Kumaras. So the Lord proceeded over there, and when the Kumaras saw how intensively and intimately the doorkeepers were connected to the Lord, they realized they made a mistake, and they wanted to withdraw the curse. They said, "These doorkeepers are so dear to the Lord, what have we done? We've done a mistake." But then the Lord said, it was my desire that he cursed them. Because the Lord was planning on exhibiting his transcendental pastimes, especially the mood of anger. And he needed his own devotee to play the role of a powerful demon. So Jai Vijay took on three births, in which they presented themselves as the enemies of the Lord. But the real purpose was to make the Lord's pastimes more relishable. This doesn't mean that we start cursing each other and say, "Oh, I curse you. This is ordained by the Lord." No, we don't have that capacity. So Hiranyakashipuni Hiranyaksha was the first of the three births Jai Vijay took. And Hiranyaksha was killed by the Lord, who again appeared in an inconceivable form. What was that form? form of a bear, of a bear, of a boar. So nothing is inconceivable for the Lord. He can even appear as a fish. So Hiranyakashipu was very attached to his brother. We don't have the time to get into history. And when he saw that his brother was killed by Vishnu, he became very, very angry. And the Lord wanted him to get angry. But he was also a great philosopher. For example, when his sister-in-law and nephews were mourning the death of their husband and father, Hiranyakashipu went over there and spoke the philosophy. He said, the body is perishable, the soul is eternal. Why are you lamenting? Everyone has to die today or tomorrow in any case. As the Bhagavad Gita says, the wise man doesn't lament for the living or the dead. And he cited the example of a king called Suyojana who was killed in a battle. In the previous days, the kings would fight in the front. They were killed in a battle. He was killed in a battle. But his wives were so attached to his body, they would not let the body go for burial. The normal process is, you die in the daytime, before sunset, the body should be cremated, should be burnt. And if you die in the night, before sunrise. But his wives, they were crying and crying and crying, her husband's dead. They were thinking that by the loud cries, the dead husband may come back to life. And these cries eventually reached Yamraj. And Yamraj, disguised as a young boy, came to the assembly, because young children can travel virtually anywhere. And Yamraj said, look at these people, they're crying. They don't understand that they're also going to one day die. And Yamraj spoke the philosophy. And Yamraj gave the story of a bird called Kulinga bird, who was there in the forest with his wife and children. And a hunter, cruel hunter, he threw some grains that attracted the birds to eat, and he captured the female husband and his female wife in his net. And when the husband saw that his wife was trapped in the net, he became very aggrieved. The better half is there in front of me. And gradually, he also got trapped. So Yamraj gave the story. The moral was that we are lamenting for someone who is dead, but we don't understand that we are also inching towards what? Death. So who gave the story? Hiranyakashipu, to appease his sister-in-law and nephews. So Hiranyakashipu was a very ambitious person. He wanted to become deathless. But he knew that if I have to become deathless, I have to perform austerity. In today's environment, you have people who have ambitious plans, like our scientists were saying, and they keep saying, they'll take us to the upper planetary systems where you will be able to live, but without austerity, through mechanical means. When the first Soviet cosmonaut went to outer space, Prabhupada wrote a book called Easy Journey to Other Planets, in which Prabhupada said, the desire to go to other planets is nothing new, but the way to go to other planets is not through mechanical means, but by spiritual preparation. So, Hiranyakashipu was a very powerful demon. his austerities were almost inconceivable. Many of you do yoga. How many of you do yoga? Okay, let's say. So many of you do yoga. So even if you are very experienced in yoga, how long can you stand on your toes with your hands raised towards the sky and you looking at the sky? How long? 10, 15 minutes? Okay. I think you could probably do 10, maybe Ramdev can do 10 to 15 minutes. But Hiranyakashipu, when he was performing his austerities, he stood on his toes with his hands raised towards the sky for 100 celestial years. 6 months of our early planet is equal to 12 hours of the demigod. For 100 celestial years, he was standing with his hand raised towards the sky. And for 100 celestial years, he did not take one drop of water. Some of you may be doing nirjal today. I'm not doing nirjal. Some of you may be doing nirjal. And some of you may be doing nirjal on Ekadasis. But can any of you do nirjal for a week in a row? He did for 100 celestial years, staying on his toes, hands raised over the sky, and not taking a drop of water. Can any ordinary demon do such an outstanding feat? No one. So Hiranyakashipu had become very powerful. Smoke was emanating from his hair, and the demigods were all unhappy. And then Brahma came looking for him, and Brahma was standing next to him, and he could not recognize him. You know why? His body had become an anthill. You have sometimes one ant crawling in your body and you feel the irritation. Sometimes devotees give you garlands. Someone made me a garland last night and there were red ants in it. So someone gives you a garland, there's an ant that crawls in your body and you feel irritated. But his whole body had become an anthill. Flesh was all eaten. Brahma was standing right next to it and he could not recognize. Till he realized, oh, this is here. This is Hiranyakashipu. And Brahma threw water from his cow and rejuvenated him to become a young man. So Hiranyakashipu was informed by Brahma that I cannot make you deathless when even I have to surrender. 311,040,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, earth. Tien and Lama, 240 million. So then Brihadarashtra tried to extract various assurances from Brahma. I will not die in sky, or on land, or on water, not by any human being or animal. He especially mentioned animal, any being created by you, because his brother was killed by the Lord, who appeared in a born incarnation. So he extracted various promises. I will not be killed by any weapon, neither inside nor outside, nor in day or night. Having received all these benedictions, Hiranyakashipu was confident that now he has become deathless. And he started terrorizing. When he had gone to perform his austerities in Mandara Hill, Prahlad was at that time in the womb of his mother. And the demigods, including Indra, were thinking, this is going to be like father, like son. the child. Many times it is, and many times it doesn't work. So, the demigods were thinking, there is that womb, there is a child in the womb of this lady. It's another powerful demon. And we should keep the lady under our care. And so, when the child is born, they would kill the child. But Narada Muni is Sri Kalagya. He knows past, present and future. And he always shows up at the right time. So Narada Muni appeared on the scene and said, "Hey, what are you doing? You're dragging this innocent lady. Why is that?" And Indra said, "Innocent? She is Srimati Hiranyakashipu. Mrs. Hiranyakashipu. And the child in the womb of this lady is a powerful demon. So our plan is, as soon as the child is born, we will kill the child and then release the mother." And then Narada Muni assured them that the child in the womb of this lady is not a demon, but a powerful sage. And then Prahlad had a great fortune receiving transcendental instructions from Narada Muni. In fact, in the Bhagavatam later on it says that Prahlad said, "If you want to give me a benediction, then I will always serve Narada, my spiritual master, Narada Muni." So Prahlad received transcendental knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother. And having received this transcendental knowledge, he was enlightened from beginning. Sambhu Narada Sambhu Kaumara Kapilo Manu Pradado Janako Bhismo Balir Bhai Yasakir Vaya. They are 12 Mahajans or spiritual authorities, and one of them is Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad's father could never comprehend, where is Prahlad getting all this knowledge from? Hiranyakashipu would think, Prahlad is getting this knowledge from Vaishnavas who are coming in disguise. So he would chastise Sandanamarka, the sons of Shukracharya. Shukra means semen. So Shukracharya represents a priest who is more interested in material benefits than in imparting spiritual knowledge. And his son, Sandanamarka, had the same mentality. So, Prahlad was enlightened, but Hiranyakashipu could never understand, where is he getting this knowledge from? So he chastised Sandanamarka. These Vaishnavas are coming in disguise. You teachers are not doing a good job. How are you allowing these Vaishnavas to preach to my son? And Sandanamarka would say, "Sir, we are Brahmanas. Don't falsely accuse us. We are not guilty at all. We ourselves are bewildered. Where is your son getting this transcendental knowledge from?" So Prahlad had this transcendental knowledge because he got this when he was in the womb of his mother from the sage Narada. So Prahlad Maharaj angered his father very much. His father was very angry that my son is attracted to my enemy who killed my beloved brother. So Hiranyakashipu could never comprehend or tolerate this. So Prahlad was fearless. That's the nature of a devotee. A devotee is fearless. And it's not that a devotee doesn't have to go to tribulations. For example, there are several things we can learn in the life of Prahlad Maharaj, unfortunately. We have very limited time. So there are several things we can learn. One of the things we can learn is determination to serve the Lord. Sometimes when we are serving, we have to face challenges. Right now we are celebrating Chandan Yatra. And in the story of Chandan Yatra, you know, Madhavendra Puri was instructed by the Lord to go to Jagannath Puri to bring Chandan. The Lord was testing him. And Madhavendra Puri very willingly took the challenge, came walking all the way. And when the Lord saw that he had successfully implemented his promise, his instruction, the Lord said, "Now, no need for you to bring it all the way to Govardhan. Just use the Chandan in Ramuna." So the Lord often puts the devotee to test. And no one can undergo the test that Prahlad had to undergo. His father tried everything that was conceivable to kill his son. This is nothing unusual. In today's environment, you see people killing children in the womb in the form of abortion. So this is nothing new. What did Hiranyakashipu do? What are some of the punishments he gave? He had his son thrown from mountain tops. His son was taken with ropes on the top of the mountain, and he was thrown from the top of the mountain. But Prahlad just went on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, chanted the name of Vishnu, and he survived. He had elephants walk over him. And what did the elephants do? Maharaj, can I go on a few minutes? Chair for Maharaj? No, please. He had elephants walk on him. And what did the elephants do? The elephants lifted Prahlad and put Prahlad on his back. Prahlad was fed with poison in his food. He was fed with poison in his food. And Prahlad survived. Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake. And what did Krishna say? Kaunte Prati Jani Name Bhakti Pranashati. So the challenges that Prahlad had to undergo are unthinkable. But he survived. He was thrown from the top of the mountain. He was thrown in the ocean. And the ocean carried Prahlad above the waves and brought Prahlad to the shore. So, Sandhan Amarka noted that Prahlad's teaching is very intensive. Prahlad is now converted all his classmates into Vaishnavas. They were all sons of demons. At one time, it was only Prahlad. But now Prahlad, by his teaching, had converted all his classmates into Vaishnavas. Sandhan Amarka tried their best to influence Prahlad according to his father's vision. But they were unsuccessful. At one point they said, "Okay, now your son is thoroughly brainwashed. If you want, you can test him." So Hiranyakashipu placed the son on his lap, patted him and said, "Son, of the many subject matters that you have learned, what is the best and most important?" He was hoping that the son would say, "You are supreme." But what did the son say? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnusmaranam Padasanam. He presented the ninefold process of devotional service. So Sandhan Amarka, they saw that Prahlad had succeeded in influencing all his classmates also. And they were naturally concerned. So they went to Hiranyakashipu and said, "We have bad news for you. Not only is your son completely convinced about devotional service, but he has also brainwashed all his classmates. And now they're not listening to us at all. There's nothing we can do anymore. So Hiranyakashipu decided, now it's time to kill the child. So Prahlad was asked, where do you get all your strength from? What's the source of your strength? And Prahlad said, the source of my strength is the same as the source of your strength. And he questioned, where is your Lord? And Prahlad said, my Lord is everywhere. And so Hiranyakashipu stuck the pillar with his sword, thinking that he has captured the Lord inside the pillar. And when he stuck the pillar with the sword, he heard a heavy sound, thunder sound, that reached the heavenly planets. Everyone thought there was going to be an earthquake, a disaster. And then the Lord appeared in the form and the verse that we just read. The Lord appeared in his inconceivable form. And then there was a tussle, like the lion and the elephant fight. A time that appeared as if Hiranyakashipu was in the grip of the Lord, and then he would escape. So it would appear as if Hiranyakashipu is more stronger than the Lord. But that was all part of the Lord's leela. And ultimately, keeping all of Brahma's promises intact, the powerful demon Hiranyakashipu was killed. How was he killed? By the Lord on his lap, just fulfilling the promise, he'd not be killed in the sky or the land or the water. He was killed by his nails. Not only was Hiranyakashipu killed by the nails, but thousands of other soldiers of Hiranyakashipu who attacked the Lord, they were also all killed by the nails. And he was killed at what time? Twilight. And he was killed at the entrance, not inside. So keeping all of Brahma's promises intact, Hiranyakashipu was killed. And the Lord appeared in his inconceivable form of Nrisimhadeva. Prabhupada was once giving a lecture in Los Angeles on this pastime of Nrisimhadeva. And Prabhupada said in his lecture, after killing Hiranyakashipu, the Lord told Brahma, Brahma, don't give such promises in future. You made my job very difficult. So, keeping all of Brahma's promises intact, the Lord killed this powerful demon. So the Lord offered Brahma, the Lord offered Hiranyakashipu any benediction that he may desire. And Prahlad said, I don't want any benediction. If you want to give me a benediction, please give me a benediction that I may always engage in service to Narada Muni, my spiritual master, and I may be bereft of all material desires. So how many of you would like to have this benediction? You may be bereft. Oh, looks like it's an assembly of pure devotees. So he said, if you want to give me a benediction, give me the benediction that I may be bereft of all material desires. And Prahlad said, but there's one benediction I want to ask you. My father was a powerful demon, very powerful. He harmed so many people. But because he was my father, I desire that he may be liberated. So Prabhupada explains the high mentality of a Vaishnava. Even though his father tried to kill him on several occasions, Hiranyakashipu's Prahlad said, please, can he be liberated? And the Lord responded by saying, he is liberated, don't worry, he's already liberated. And then the Lord explained that up to 21 generations of his ancestors were liberated. This is the power of devotional service. So, we have very many lessons to learn. And Prahlad Maharaj says, a servant who wants some benediction in exchange for service is a mercantile man. He said, Prahlad Maharaj says, I just want to serve you without expecting anything in return. And he says, a master who will give benediction in exchange for some gifts is also mercantile. In other words, the spiritual teacher should not give instructions hoping that I'm going to get something lucrative in exchange. So, there's a lot to say, but our next speaker is here. Maharaj, I'm sorry. Okay. So on this auspicious day, there are several prayers we can all offer. One prayer we can offer is, pray that we may be bereft of all material desires. Prahlad Maharaj also manifested the mood of preaching. He would say, I'm not worried about my own liberation, but I'm worried about those who are trying to convert a position of distress to a position of comfort. So Prahlad is one of our spiritual heroes. He's our hero in terms of determination, courage. He's our hero in terms of his preaching mentality. And on this auspicious day, we can all, falling at the feet of Lord Rasingadev, beg that we may also develop the determination to serve the Lord like Prahlad Maharaj did. How many of you would you want to have that desire? So thank you very much. Nrsingadev Bhagwan ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki, Gaur Premananda.